He's not at home, and what has happened to him, we just don't know. The only thing that we can most sincerely hope is that Mr. Higginson doesn't get a message from him from the other side of life, because I was speaking to him only on the phone yesterday, and everything, putting it very vulgarly, was in the bag, and he should be here. Something that obviously untoward has occurred, which has prevented him, and we can only hope and pray that he's not been involved in an accident or it's nothing serious. And therefore, we have invited one of our good members who gives us a lot of joy and pleasure with her musical ability at York with us, because we're a happy gang of people there, as a good many of you present here tonight will know. And just at the moment's notice, she's come along to function on the piano for us, exceedingly nervous because she hasn't got the music for the hymn that we're going to sing. But that won't matter, I'm quite sure, because her inspiration is very great, and I'm quite sure you will know the tune to which we are going to sing for this hymn later in the proceedings. So without more ado, with that word of apology that we have been diddled ahead of the organ recital, which I personally was looking forward to because this is a magnificent instrument and we're going to have very little chance of hearing it again, seeing that it's going to be sold or demolished or something or other when we have our new civic hall. And so with those words of apology, I'm going to ask Mr. Gordon Higginson, President of the Spiritualist National Union, and also a minister of the union, to address you. Mr. Gordon.
Recently, in fact, yesterday it was, that we came to the end of an international conference that was held in Brighton, where people came from many parts of the world. In fact, there were 20 countries that were represented. All these people wanting to know more about spiritualism and how to cooperate together to get the message across. It does appear that spiritualism now is established in practically every country in the world. I don't think that there is a country anywhere where there is not a spiritualist group of people. And many have thought that, oh, we'll leave it alone, they all go round the bend, and there'll be very few of them left. Instead of that, in the last few years, we have increased our numbers in every country because men and women are beginning to question the idea about life, rather because of the troubled periods that we have passed through, so many wars, country against country, and it would appear that religion that has been given to mankind for countless centuries seems to have failed to unite peoples of all color and all caste and all creed together. And there is no doubt that the real thinking person who sits down and thinks about it really wants to know if there is any truth in life after death. They want to know that, because if there is no afterlife, it would seem to me that there is no real purpose to life itself. After all, if we merely die and that's it, it doesn't seem to be that much effort should be given to try and sacrifice our lives in turning people's attention to loving one another. We all might as well set about our lives and enjoy it while we can and just don't bother anymore. But people that have witnessed spiritualism and its phenomena realize that there is life after death. And it is important that we present our case everywhere, in every town, in every city, in every village. I know that many people say, well, you know, you don't believe in the Bible, you're anti-Jesus and anti-God. The only people that are really supporting Jesus at all are the spiritualists, because they're the only people that understand what he was trying to do. We are endeavoring to do the things that he asked everyone to do. Mind you, there is no real evidence that Jesus lived. But the spiritualists accept it because they know that what he is purported to have said and done, that we today are saying it and doing it. One thing that we do not say, and that is that Jesus was the only Son of God, and he died on the cross to open the kingdom of heaven for you. We know that's an impossibility, because we realize that God, this tremendous force and power, is the God of the granite and the rose, the soul of the sparrow and the bee. We realize that God is a supreme power that emanates in everything that is living. We know that. And Jesus knew it. And he said it. Because when he was asked, where is the Father that you speak about? Who is this God that you speak about? He said to them, do you mean to tell me that you have known me, seen me, witnessed all the things that you have seen me do, and you cannot see the Father in me? He was expressing what the spiritualists know, that the power of God lies within, that we're all godly, if we will only stop and think about it and unfold these spiritual qualities which makes us loving people. And then people will say, but you know, the powers of Jesus were so supreme that he came back from the dead. Of course he did. So will you. But if you start to say that he arose in his body, then the spiritualists will explain the impossibility of it. And they will also explain to you, through the phenomena of materialization, that Jesus materialized and we can prove how he did it. Of course, there are those who don't want the people to know this. It's far better to believe that there is a man sitting on the throne trying to tell you whether you're good or bad, and that there's a heaven and a hell. But it's untrue. The spiritualists know, because the people that you are called dead have come back and told us about it. I don't know if any of you who are present at Brighton, but when I gave the demonstration of clairvoyance last Tuesday to the International, there was a gentleman there who was searching, no one knew, and had been quietly trying to get some evidence from the other world. And he had failed. But during the time that Mr. Barbanel was speaking, I happened to pick up a young boy that I saw clairvoyantly and heard clairaudiently, and he told me his name was Christopher, and that he wanted to talk to his father. So, when the demonstration began, I saw this boy. He was 10 years of age, and he'd been accidentally shot. A terrible tragedy. And his father must have turned to the only hope, to spirituals, to find out if there was any truth at all in the afterlife. He loved his son, but he'd been accidentally shot by his own brother. You can imagine the tragedy and the terror and the fear. No one knew this, but the son came back. I saw him I communicated with him. I got his name, where he lived. I got his father's name, the name of the brother that had accidentally shot him. It all came. Can you imagine how this man felt at last? At last, he had discovered that this son, who had died so tragically, was alive, and had come back to tell his father that he was alive. You should have seen the transformation in that man. Not a man now broken, but a man that had been given something that nothing else could have given to him. It was no use giving him the Bible and saying, read this and find comfort. For Jesus said, there is a life everlasting. That was not enough. Tragedy had hit them, and hit them so hard, they wanted to be sure. And spiritualism did it. It brought hope. It brought comfort. It brought love. The materialization, when we held a seance last Wednesday, I noticed there's a young man in the audience that was in the seance last Wednesday. And there came seven spirit forms, dead people, alive. They not only showed themselves that everybody could see, but they allowed themselves to be felt and touched, and they were being made consciously aware of who they were. Jesus said, I know you'll disbelieve all the things, you'll deny me, you'll be afraid to tell the world. Destroy my body, but I will come back. I will show you how true it is, what I have said to you. And he did. And it was only when he came back from the spirit world that they really believed. Did you know that? There would have been no follow-on had Jesus not have come back from the spirit. And yet here was the greatest medium of all time, who had given them wonderful evidence of survival. They'd heard transmediumship, they'd heard the direct voice, they had witnessed every type of phenomena that was possible. They had seen miracles in healing. He had given them most wonderful philosophy. But when he had died, the whole thing seemed to close up. And Jesus knew this. And he knew that he was to give them a personal experience that they too would witness the return of the Spirit. And it was only then, and then only, that they decided to devote their life to tell mankind. You can talk how you like about brotherhood, about love, about God, but words are insufficient. Mankind is looking not for miracles, but they are looking for truth. They want to see, they want to hear, they want to know. I am not a Christian, I am a spiritualist. And that embraces everything. I don't need anything else. I have all I want. For I know that I am indestructible. I know that the power of God that is within me makes me eternal. And I know that if I die right now, I shall be just as much alive, functioning in the next dimension of life as I am at this very moment. I know that. And I am not afraid to die. I don't want to die. I want to live in this world, to enjoy it, with people that I love. I want to experience this life and feel that I have done something in this life that will make it important in the next. That I may be able to fit myself in spiritually to a spiritual existence. Whether you like it or whether you don't, you can't die. You can commit suicide, but you're still alive. You'll function in the next world. Isn't it better to know it? Isn't it better to look to death as something of a great experience rather than fear it? Do you really mean to tell me that you're not afraid to be put into that coffin and lowered into the earth? You're afraid to talk about it. You're afraid even to go and see it. And many people are afraid to go to the seance room because they're afraid to know. And yet, how do you know that you won't die in the next second? How do you know when you go to sleep that you're going to waken up tomorrow? For you are nearer to death when you are asleep than at any other time. Do you want to slip away? Do you mean to tell me that there isn't anything in this life that you want to stay here for? Do you mean to tell me that you are not afraid to go into the unknown? Everyone's afraid to go into the unknown. But when you have witnessed all the wonderful things that spiritualism can offer, you realize there is something in life that makes living worthwhile. And you realize that we are all equal in the sight of God. And God allows love to be the link between us. And that never dies. It's ever with us. Isn't it a simple message? And yet you watch television, you see plays, you read books, you read accounts of it, and always by people that have never seen it, never heard it, and don't know anything about it. The ITV approached me 3 years ago to go on to ITV. I did a series for them, and they were so successful that it was really a form for them. And especially up the north, where they seem to lean to spiritualism very strong. And they said, Mr. Higginson, we will pay you, now listen to this, we will pay you £2,000 for 4 half-hour shows. It's a lot of money, isn't it? And I'm not a rich man. And I thought, oh dear, 4 shows, all right? I think I'll do it. But I sleep on it. When I slept on it, I woke the next morning. I thought, not on your life would I do such a thing. I want to know what you're going to do for us. So I said, if you will let me present spiritualism as I know it, in all its forms, I would be delighted to do it. Oh, but they didn't want that. What they wanted, really, was to make it all weird. They wanted to make it all in darkness, spirits moving about. Well, I couldn't take part in that, for all the money in the world. Because it is fraudulence. It isn't the truth. The truth is that the other world is a marvelous world. And death is a most glorious thing. When you've understood death, you've got an idea of life. And you can't live until you know something about death. You think you can, but you can't. Because once you have found it, you change. You change. My outlook on life is changing all the time. But I am witnessing such wonderful things that I realize God and life and spirit is one. Now that is why we are here tonight. We're going in every town, in every city, in every village, and we are going to let people see spiritualism as it really is. And we want you, perhaps tonight I will give you a shocking demonstration, you'll go out and say, these people don't know what on earth they're talking about. Well, we throw the challenge to you. I may not be perhaps good tonight, never know. But there will be another medium that will be very good. The case of spiritualism is proven. The world knows it, and the world's trying to stop us, but they will never succeed. I'll give you one little story in the language. There had never been a spiritualist meeting in Soley Hull, one of the suburbs of Birmingham. We decided to have a meeting there, or I did, the people people in that area. And so they invited myself to come and demonstrate in Lord Darjeeling to speak. And it was a marvelous new town hall that had only just been opened by the Queen, Her Majesty. Well, the canon of Tamworth wrote in the press, "Don't let the spiritualists come to this hall. Stop them." As fast as they put up bills, the ministry pulled them down. The press wouldn't even allow us to put an advertisement in, because the church had said, "Don't let the spiritualists come to Soley Hall. We don't want the spiritualists here. These people are all evil." So they wrote to the Lord Mayor, telling them that Lord Darjeeling was coming and that he should have a mayoral reception. His title alone demanded that. But you know, it was very funny. The Lord Mayor wasn't available, or the Mayor wasn't available. He had something else on. And the odd thing is that he only had it on about a week later, not at the time that he was invited to come and meet the Lord Darjeeling. Very odd. We found out. So we did without it. We didn't bother. Instead of having nobody there, the hall was so packed they couldn't get in. The people had been stirred. And instead of stopping them from coming, they came in their crowds. Could you imagine how they could have kicked themselves seeing crowds of people pour into this town hall today? We have a first-class church doing a first-class job, doing most wonderful work. Very recently, we tried to get a hall in one of the cities. Spiritualism? Oh, we can't allow the spiritualists here. This is a cathedral city. They would never grant it. So we went and took a boys' hall. We went in. Oh, we went in. And not only did we go in, we gave leaflets out to the street corners, whether they liked it or whether they didn't. We pushed leaflets in every door. We pushed psychic music in every door, but we went in. And we packed it to capacity. And people were linked with their so-called dead to change their lives, to give them hope and comfort and love. Now you have a church here in Medina. You have one in Maidenhead. You have one in Windsor. You have one in various places around here. If you live there, go there. Support your religion. Tell the people what you have found and present it in your life. Show people that you love life and you're not afraid to die.
Well, friends, does it make sense or doesn't it make sense? This is the point. And as Mr. Higginson says, we still have to fight the prejudice, the ignorance, the opposition that existed many years ago. And your presence here tonight indicates that you've either come out of curiosity, as we've said in our program, you've either come out of an interest in psychic matters, perfectly legitimate, and why not? Because it's a funny thing. Throughout our lives, through infancy, we are encouraged to use our faculties of mind, to expand our minds, to bring criticism, to bring logic and reasoning to bear on every subject under the sun. We are encouraged to take the 11 plus, being abolished, I believe, now, a long time ago. So as I'm concerned, we are encouraged, you know, to take the A-levels and to go to the university, to expand our minds, to gain greater knowledge in every field of life except one. And that is in the field of religion. And as we said also in our program tonight, most religions offer you salvation as a package deal. You will believe this, and if you don't, heaven help you. Now, Mr. Gordon Higginson has given you a practical exposition of what spiritualism really means. It encourages the expansion of the human mind, and I thank you, sir, very, very much. or that inspiring address which I'm sure would inspire not only to the spiritualists who are present, but also to new friends perhaps who are here for the first time. Now I'm going to call on worthy co-operator, Miss Blake at the piano, because Mr. Higginson needs just a little respite, just for a few moments, to tune in from his address. I'll tell you a secret. He did ask me to get another speaker tonight, but knowing the dynamic manner in which he delivers the truth of spiritualism, I said, no, you'll jolly well do it yourself, and we'll just have a couple of verses of something to let you settle down before the demonstration of clairvoyance. Now, most of you, of course, will have television sets, or will have heard of them, I've no doubt, and therefore I'm quite sure that you will know the tune which we are going to sing just two verses of this hymn. We had to cut it down because we couldn't get it on the paper. Just two verses of "The World Has Felt a Quickening Breath" to a very, very well-known tune indeed. Please remain seated. Thank you.